Thank you, Richard. Appreciate that. It's awesome to be here in Leander today and just share the word with you and just meet fellow Christians. I bought a new pair of gym shoes the other day. I don't know why Steph made me do it, because I like my old gym shoes. They're comfortable. The duct tape on them even has the same color. And somehow or another, she didn't want me walking around outside with those gym shoes, so I bought a new pair of gym shoes. And they're nice and white and they're bright. But, I walk 3 or 4 miles a day. So one of the things you have to be very careful with, you jump in those new shoes and you start walking 3 or 4 miles a day, you won't be walking for several days because you'll have nice blisters on your feet. And so one of the things we have to do when we get new shoes is we kind of have to kind of break it in a little bit, have to kind of stretch a little bit. And that's what I want to do today is just, I want to take an old scripture that we all know. Probably next to John 3:16, we know this one. We know the lawyer comes to Jesus and asks, what is the greatest commands? What are the greatest commands? And Jesus tells him, the Lord your God, with all your heart, love him. With all your mind, love him. With all your strength, love him. And just love him with everything that you have. And the second one is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. I've got to ask you this question, though. How's that working for you? Can you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength? Remember the old song, I Surrender All? And you probably had people comment the fact that, we can't sing that song. Why is that? Well, I cannot surrender everything to God. Well, we have a command to love God with everything we have. But at the same time, we're telling God we can't do this. We got a dilemma. I don't know about you, but many times with me, when we look at loving God with everything I have, every minute of every day, and just being dedicated to that, I sometimes rationalize the idea, well, my heart's in the right direction. My actions don't always do it, but my heart's in the right direction. But sometimes I beat myself up because of the idea that I failed again. I let God down. And the other question is this. How can I possibly love God enough? Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Mark adds, all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. What I wanted to do is look at these for a second and try to help us work through this command and understand what Jesus is telling us. And I'm going to stretch you just a little bit. Some of you might be stretching a whole lot, but I'm going to stretch you with Scripture today to show you how God fulfilled this command. And there are new commandments. There are new commandments that fulfill these commands. Ask anybody in the world that's been in church or life, what are the greatest commands? And you're going to tell me these two. But let's ask the question, how are we fulfilling them? How are we doing it? And the basic question, the next question to Jesus would be, well, how do we do that? How do I love God enough? We know the Ten Commandments, right? Those first four commandments, when we look at the Ten Commandments, you know, no other gods, do not worship idols, do not take the Lord's name in vain, it's the way we remember it, and remember the Sabbath day, those first four, those are the Ten Commandments. See, that's what Jesus was saying. He says, the first part, that first command, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, is relationships to God. And he's talking about the Ten Commandments, and those Ten Commandments start with these first four. And their relationships to God. How do we relate to God? No other gods. No idols. Do not take the Lord's name in vain to such an extent they wouldn't even talk or breathe or even write God's name out, being afraid that they might take it in vain. And then keep the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. The creation day, the day that God rested. We know these commands. We memorize these commands. We remember this next six when we look at father and mother. This is the first one of the promise, right? I always tell my kids this. This is the first one of the promise. And here's the promises. If you obey me, you will live a long life. If you don't, we're going to shorten that life. Because that's a parenting principle there. That's a command. It's the first command with a promise. It says, obey your mom and dad. Honor your parents. And you will have a long and prosperous life. Paul would later say in Ephesians this. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. And keeping his commands. We know you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. We know these from youth. We know these Ten Commandments, and many people know the Ten Commandments, or they've seen the movie The Ten Commandments, and they see Charlton Heston coming down off the mountain with the two stones and the Ten Commandments. We have all these pictures that we have of the Ten Commandments. These are the commandments. These are the laws and the prophets that Jesus says he has summed up. Keep this in mind, what Jesus was asked. Jesus asked, what are the greatest commands? What was the young man asking? The man was asking this question. He says, of the Ten Commandments, what are the greatest commands? And he sums up the law. That's all he is asked to do. That's all Jesus is asked to do. What law did Jesus live under at the time? He lived under the old law. So he is saying these are the greatest commands. He sums them up and he comes and he says, here are the commandments. And he says, love the Lord with all your heart, with the God, your heart, with your mind. It's a little off on there. With all your soul and with all your mind, this is the first and greatest commandment. What's Jesus saying? He is summing up those first four commands. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, if you would. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to propose to you that Jesus changed these commandments. Feel those shoes stretching a little bit? Jesus changed these commandments. Because what did Jesus do on the cross? He fulfilled these commandments. He fulfilled the commandment of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because I could not do it. You cannot do it. The Israelites cannot do it, could not do it. Why do you think they went into captivity? Why do you think the 10 tribes of Israel were lost? Why? Because they did not love the Lord. What could they bring to the Lord God into the temple? You remember Malachi? A very negative book. Next to Galatians, well, probably it probably beats out Galatians as being the most negative book in the Bible. It says, hey, listen, just stop. Close the temple doors. You no longer love me. You're just bringing sacrifices that don't count and just bringing lame animals to me. They're at a point in Malachi that they totally lost loving God and they could not bring anything to God anymore. And that's where we were. That's where we were. You had nothing, and you still have nothing to bring to God that's acceptable to love Him. That's when you start praising the Lord for grace. We'll talk about that for a second. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us. Now, I realize this. Remember the gym shoes. We're stretching a little bit. It's a little bit new. We're looking at Scripture. We're going to push you out because for many years, even my life, when I looked at these greatest commands, and I said, yes, these are the greatest commands. They're there. But then you start thinking about it, and you look at Scripture, how in the world do I feel, how can I love God enough? I can't. And the problem with that means every day of my life, I fail. And what happens is, I become a doer and try to be a doer of Christianity instead of living for Christ. I'm trying to impress God. How can you possibly impress God? What do you have to bring to Him? And that's the key to living this life. That's the key to fulfilling these commands. Dear friends, verse 21 of 1 John 3. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. Do you hear that? Because we obey His commands and we do what pleases Him. Now look very carefully what the commands are. And this is His command: to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. This is His command. What is the command? To believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the greatest command. Guarantee you that there's no going to heaven if you do not obey this command. But let's change it a little bit to this. Why did Jesus have to come? That's a big question. Theologians write thousands of books on it. Why did Jesus have to come? Jesus had to come because we needed love to sacrifice to God. Did you catch it? We need something to offer to God that is ultimate love, because we could not and cannot fulfill and carry out the greatest command of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why did Jesus come? To fulfill that commandment. That's why He had to come in the flesh, too. And here's the beautiful thing about it. That is how much God loves us. And it's how much we love God because of Jesus Christ. So when you look at the commandment, the greatest command is fulfilled in that I love God because I do what? Because I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But what else did I do? When I said I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I said, I cannot love you enough. I need help. God, how can we do this? And it's very difficult. But it's answered. To fulfill the greatest command of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is to accept the sacrifice of His Son Jesus. To accept God's love. That's a big difference. Because one way I'm always trying and always working hard and always, and unless you're just somebody that's just perfect, last time I checked, you're not. Just the fact that you said, yes, I am. You blew it. I needed someone who could love God perfectly in order to get my relationship back with God. instead of working hard at. It is accept the love of God. And how do I do that? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God says, do you love me? Yes, I love you. I believe that your Son is your love. Now, there's no one in the world that's going to deny the fact that the perfect gift of love, the perfect sacrifice of love is Jesus. That's why he came. He came because we couldn't. The Israelites couldn't do it. At the time he comes and answers this question, yes, he sums up the law, but he says, listen, you need to know why I am here. I am here because you cannot and did not keep the law. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. In John chapter 6, verse 28, 29, some people come up to him again, trying to trick him or just trying to ask sincere questions. What is the work that we must do to have eternal life? This is the number one question that Jesus is asked while he's on earth. This is the number one question people want to know. This should be a number one question that we should be asking every day. How do I have eternal life? How do I make it to heaven? Sometimes that's just not the number one question starting our day. Sometimes starting our day is, do I have enough gas to get to work? Is it raining outside? What's the weather? But their question was, and it's a natural question to Jesus, how do we get to heaven? And Jesus gives a little response by just saying this. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. You see it? What's my primary command? What is the greatest command? To believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To accept the love of God. And by the way, the love of God is the same as the grace of God, and the grace of God in the New Testament is not a word of grace that we say over our food and all. That's an English word of grace. Grace is defined as Jesus Christ. Grace is Jesus Christ. The ultimate idea of grace is that I could not and God did. And the commandments change because they become fulfilled because of the fact that Jesus loved us so much. And Jesus died for us, the perfect sacrifice of love. And Jesus comes in, he says, hey, here's the work that's demanded of you. It's not doing great things. It's not even keeping the Ten Commandments, doing all the Ten Commandments. It's simply believing that we needed Jesus. That's what 1 John 1 is all about. It's the idea of believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the new greatest command. Without Jesus, you cannot fulfill the greatest command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because you cannot love Him that way. Now, notice how this helps us. Instead of working so hard trying to impress God, I live in the love of God. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. But this is the command. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Baptism. People in the world debate baptism. Religious groups debate baptism. You know why baptism is so wonderful? It's where I accept that Jesus' love is God's gift to me. It's where I say, God, I cannot love you. I accept your love, Jesus Christ. Most of the time when we talk about baptism, we say it's obedience to command. What's the command? To get baptized. No, no. The command is to believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. How do I do that? When do I do that? When did you do that? You did that when you were baptized. It's more accepting than doing. It's not the doing of the baptism is doing. It's why you're doing. In the name of Jesus is the most important part of the baptism, of our baptism, because that's our only part. I'm saying I have faith that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that Jesus Christ is the love of God, that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the commandments. And when you understand this is the place, this is when you accepted the love of God, when you accepted Jesus, you said, I don't know how to love God, I need your love, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is when we explain baptism that way, people are jumping in the water. Because it's about loving God and the sacrifice that He's given to us. Like I said, you're going to have to think on this for a while because it's stretching you. It's stretching you. But it's the only way that you'll truly, fully live the Christian life. If we don't accept the love of Jesus, then we're condemned to a world of trying harder and harder and going backwards and backwards. That's basically Romans 7 with Paul. The more I do, the worse I get. And face it. Some of us never get out of Romans 7. We think, hey, we're like Paul did. Hey, by the way, Paul got out of Romans 7. He started in Romans 6 in baptism. He got out of Romans 7 to Romans 8. And Romans 8 starts, he finishes 7. I thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. And there's no condemnation in Jesus. He got out of 7 because he saw trying to keep the law with a checklist did not work. The sacrifice was Jesus. He comes and says, what is the command? And this is His command. This is His command to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we did when we were baptized. That's the beauty. And that's the only way you accept the love of Jesus. There's no praying in your heart. There's no saying some kind of special language or anything like that. Even in the Great Commission of making disciples, what declares that you're a disciple of Jesus? A follower of Jesus. Baptism. And so the question is, when people say, well, you know, why baptism? You go, why not? Why not? Do you love Jesus? Because that's what it's all about. Those next six commands. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. The last six commandments deal with relationships to one another. And we know how Jesus puts it, right? Jesus puts it this way, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He changed this. Jesus, why'd you do this? We have this down pat. Why'd you put this in the Word? How did you change this? Remember what he's summing up. He's summing up, he says it there, the law and the prophets, which is what? Which is the Old Testament in our language. He's summing up the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. He's summing up the covenant that he's under. Oh, so are you saying we can murder? Are you saying we can steal? Are you saying we can covet? No. No. But you will always have difficulties in these areas. Always have difficulties in these areas if we don't see the new commandments. And most of you probably, I said, what is the new commandment that Jesus gave? Can anyone tell me what the new commandment Jesus gave? Yeah, he actually says this, a new commandment I give unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. And he starts it out in John 13:34 with the idea, he starts it out with, a new commandment I give to you. What's a new commandment? What's new? It's another commandment. It's a commandment that's new. And Jesus is giving it, right? Do we have to keep a new commandment? If a new commandment comes in to replace the old commandment, which one do we follow? We follow both. We have to, but we follow the new commandment, especially if Jesus gives us the new commandment, right? Love your neighbor as yourself is a great way that as Christians we are to respond to the world. But he changes this command for Christians. He gives us a new commandment. You look it back and we see the command, 1 John 3:23 says, to love one another as I have loved you. See, and this is his command. 1 John 3:23 says, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. How did he command us? In John 13:34, he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. How will the world know we're his disciples? This is the number one evangelism step. Number one evangelism step. It's not something great. It's not some kind of program or anything like that. The number one evangelism step that Jesus Christ gives, how will the world know that we're his disciples? How we love each other. If we love each other. Now, this is a tough one. Because originally it was what? Love your neighbor as yourself. I have an escape clause. I don't love myself, much less how can I love my neighbor? I got to take time to heal myself. Healing's a big thing nowadays. I got to take time to heal. I got to take time to get right. I have to take time. How can I love someone else when my life is so miserable? You just don't understand the stress I'm under. You don't understand all the things I'm going through. I have to get straightened out. When I get straightened out, then I can go love my neighbor. Churches do the same thing. Churches go, when we get straightened out, when we get united, when we get loving and liking each other and doing that, then we can go out and what? Win the world. Great rationalization, big sin. Because Jesus changes it. What's the difference between when Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. What's the difference between that one and love your neighbor as yourself? As I have loved you. Okay? It takes me out of it. It's no longer regulated on how I feel about myself. What are some other differences? How did Christ love us? He died for us. When did he die for us? When we were still ugly. When we were still in our sins. Ephesians 2 says what? When we were dead in our trespasses. So how are we supposed to love one another? Unconditionally. Exactly. And is that optional? Is this optional for the church? Is it optional for Christians, whether or not we love each other or whether we unite or not? No. This is not an option. And no matter what you do to me, I'm sorry, I cannot not love you. I know, that's a double negative. I did not major in English, obviously. Did you hear that? No matter what someone does to you, I have no right to stop loving you. In fact, I'm commanded to love you even more. Because Jesus says in the same chapters to love your enemies. Because isn't that exactly who we were with Jesus? His enemy, but he still came. Because if we define the characteristics of God, what's the first characteristic of God that you come up with? God is love. That's why Jesus came. To fulfill that greatest command. We look at that and we go, a new command I give you, love one another as I loved you, so you must love one another. 1 John 5:1 says it this way, everyone who believes that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Now, notice what his commands are. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you don't believe this, then you cannot love God. That would be like, I have a son, Adam. Adam's a great son. But it'd be like you come up to me and we have a relationship and it's a joyous relationship. It's like you come up to me and say, hey, listen, Alex, I love you a lot, but I can't stand your son. I don't like your son. It's like sometimes you watch it this way. Lord, I love your church. I love worshiping you. I love your son and believe your son. But there's a couple members here that I don't know why they should be here. And then you do that right before you take the Lord's Supper. By the way, remember, the only command around the Lord's Supper is to take it in a worthy manner. And take it in a worthy manner is remembering what? The first command, what Jesus did on the cross, the love of God that fulfilled the greatest command, so that I can now love God. Like I said, it's a stretch, but to live the Christian life, it changes the ballgame. It changes your life because I can do these things. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, I did that. I know that. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how that we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us, to finish out 1 John 3. Well, yeah, yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ. There has to be more to it. Ah, here's where Jesus connects. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. No other gods before me. No idols. Sabbath day. Do not murder, steal, honor your parents. Do not covet. Here's where he connects it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We cannot keep commandments. We cannot keep enough commandments to ever love Jesus enough. We keep the commandments because Jesus loved us and we love Jesus. It's a parenting rule. If you want to be very authoritarian, bam, 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 and you're looking to obey the rules, obey the rules, obey the rules, and you ever shout one of these things, do it because I'm your father, that's why I said so, and you recognize at that moment when you say that, you lost it. But you teach them about love, and they love you. They'll do anything in the world for you. If you demand that they keep your commandments, they can't wait till they're 18 to get out of the house. And most of the time, if you're honest as a parent and you have a child like that, you can't wait till they're 18 so they leave the house. And it's sad. It's happening in the world all the time. But when they love you, it's the same thing. When you're having, if you're an employer and you have employees, and the employees have a great relationship with you, and they're really inspired, and they really like you, and they're really a part of it, you can't get them not to stop working when they're supposed to take a break, because you don't want to get the IRS on your case for overtime and all that kind of stuff. They want to do more. They'll go the extra mile. But if all you ever do is treat them like a worthless employee, just here's your hour check, and here's what you're doing like that, you'll only get that out of them. Until they can find the next job that pays better or somewhere with better circumstances. They're always looking somewhere else. It's a practical thing. And in marriage, it's the same way. These are the rules of marriage. Very simple. Number one, nothing comes between our relationship with each other based on our relationship with God first. There's nothing that important. And the second one is, there's nothing so important that breaks our love for one another. I cannot break that commandment. And go through it. We need to slow down a little bit and understand that when God's first and we're putting others before us like Christ did us, then the things that you'll face in your marriage will be overcome. Because you can't break these two commands. We look at it, it says, if you love me, you will obey me, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you one another. This is the idea. Love is the root. Obedience is the fruit. Obedience does not ever lead to love. You cannot obey God enough to love him enough. We cannot do enough to love God enough. I've been loved, I accept the love, and the obedience is the fruit. How will you know that you're my disciples? How will the world know that you're my disciples? How will they see it? What's the fruit? By our love for one another. How we love one another in Jesus Christ. Now, read John 3:16. This is why John 3:16 is so wonderful. For God so loved, put your name there, that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. These two commands are the only two commands that deal with eternal life. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're not going to heaven. Don't want to put it negative, that's about what 1 John 1 says. And the second one is this, if you do not love your brother, you're not going to heaven. The others, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, those are all symptoms of not doing the first two commandments. In a way, we've got to raise our level of our love. Accepting that. Father, thank you for this time together. We look at your scriptures and we read your scriptures. And this, I understand. I hope I was able to communicate in a way that helps in your word, in that we see how much you loved us in Jesus, and we thank you so much for the sacrifice of Jesus, and we thank you so much for the life that you give us and the resurrection, and Father, the new birth and the baptism that we have. And help us to love one another as you loved us. We know we can't do it perfectly, but we're supposed to do it. And by doing that, we glorify you. Be with us as we go into worship. We uplift your name in song and praise, your word, gathering around the table. Father, we just love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your time.